हॅलो लिस्नर्स, वेलकम टू द पुणेकर पॉडकास्ट, पुण्याचा आपला पॉडकास्ट. मी अमित. टुडे वी हॅव अ व्हेरी एमिनंट पर्सनॅलिटी विथ अस. ही हॅज बीन अ कन्सल्टंट, एक्स डिरेक्टर जनरल ऑफ MCCI, हू हॅज पायोनियर्ड व्हेरियस इनिशिएटिव्ह फॉर द डेव्हलपमेंट ऑफ आवर पुणे सिटी. वेलकम मिस्टर आनंद सर देशमुख टू अवर शो. टेल अस अबाउट व्हेरियस इनिशिएटिव दॅट यू हॅव टेकन फॉर MCCI.
Well, my stint with MCCI has been almost 11 long years, and in during that period I think we have undertaken various activities. Primarily we thought that Pune is also a hub of micro, small and medium enterprises, and we noticed that there are several things which could be done for the promotion as well as development of this micro, small and medium enterprises. So we did initiate first of all the active participation of these MSMEs, and then we identified certain areas where we can come out and help them, because micro, small and medium enterprises are many of them, they also call them SMEs, forgetting the micro element of it, which is very, very micro and which is very unorganized, and it's very difficult to do any activities for them. But I would say that we couldn't do much because they are unorganized, but SMEs, yes, they are fairly organized, and we initiated various initiatives for them, training programs, the capability building programs. And we did certain programs in the area of IT, developing the IT capability, then marketing their products, then utilizing the various incentives and schemes which have been promoted by the central and state governments, creating an awareness about these schemes and how they can utilize. Then also we initiated several programs on, as I mentioned, their capability building. For example, we started a lean manufacturing cluster. Many of them, we brought that scheme of the central government, the lean manufacturing cluster program of central government to Pune. And we were probably the first chamber to apply for this cluster program, the government of India, and we were among the first to get the approval, and we started several clusters and with the main objective of enhancing their capability in manufacturing and acquiring the leanness in their operations. And besides that, there were many other programs also exploiting the opportunities which are outside Pune, which are outside India, looking for technical tie-ups outside India, organizing some visits of them for, we went to Israel, we went to Netherlands, we went to various other countries just to expose them to the MSMEs there. We did some program with some German Chamber of Commerce, with German Association of SMEs and all that. Mainly with an idea of trying to find a partner for these SMEs for either, starting a joint kind of a venture, or, bringing in some technology and having some technology tie-ups and all that.
So Pune has been an industrialized city for a long time, and I'm sure the chamber has also helped a lot in developing Pune as such.
Right.
And with these various schemes that you have mentioned, were there any tangible benefits, or I know a few joint venture companies which have done really well, like German companies, but do you think that these efforts, they were kind of, I think they were really ahead of the time, because I have attended a few events in the late 2000s. And maybe before all this Make in India and Atmanirbhar Bharat thing started, I think Chamber has done a lot in that regard. So what do you think about that?
I mentioned about the lean manufacturing cluster. I think if you see the industrial history of Pune and especially the first decade of this century, you probably might have noticed that many multinational companies, especially in the auto segment, because Pune is a very important auto hub. And during that time, 2007, 2008, because of the global recession and all that, and now many OEM, that is the original equipment manufacturers, the large companies and all that, mm-hmm. they started resorting to the Japanese techniques like just-in-time and the various other techniques and all that, just to ensure that the overheads come down, the cost come down, unnecessarily cost bending doesn't happen, and they can reduce the, you know, the entire cost and improve the profitability as well as improve their competitiveness and all that. With that in mind, they pruned down their vendor network, and they went ahead and they identified only those vendors who are really capable of supplying and the right kind of a material, the quality material, on time, that is on schedule, adherence to the schedule described by the OEMs and all that. And taking up the challenge, a bigger challenge, with the original equipment manufacturer, they substantially reduce the number of vendors also. So these vendors, these SMEs who were vendors to these original equipment manufacturers, they have to undergo, I would say, a tremendous transformation in terms of developing their facilities, making it competitive, and again, reducing their cost and bringing in line with the requirements of the original equipment manufacturer, because you also have to provide a product, a component, which the OEM can afford, and afford in the sense that it fits in his competitiveness.
And it's usable at the global scale.
Yeah. So with that, they modified their facility. With that, they, for the quality, they went for the certification which is required, the quality certification, the global standard, adherence to global standards. In these, as I mentioned earlier, there were many, you know, the foreign manufacturers, the OEM, like Volkswagen and then General Motors and, you know, the Hyundai's and Mercedes also, yeah. Yes, all manufacturers. So they were also looking for, because if you see, these are the units which established during that time. And they were looking for the Indian vendors and they definitely wanted to offload some of their you know, requirement from their own vendors back home to some Indian vendors, so that they can bring down the cost of inventory as well as the cost of logistics and all that. So with that, they identified certain Indian manufacturers, and that too the manufacturers from Pune. And for that, these SMEs and all that, they had to undergo, as I said, the quality certifications and the programs which we initiated, like lean manufacturing and all that, helped them tremendously. Mm-hmm. So that was the preparatory period for these SMEs. I mean, I'm glad that many of these vendors, they not only met the global standards and to the expectation of the you know, the foreign OEMs and all that, and then they became their suppliers, not only their plants in Pune, but all over the country, and some of them, they started supplying even for their, you know, needs outside India too, and many of them, they went ahead and brought some technology, they identified some types and all that, and quite a few of them also created some joint ventures too.
That's quite commendable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how tough was it initially? Because to convince foreign OEMs to tie up with Indian companies in the time when, you know, there were some uncertainties, there were questions about the quality and all. So how did you overcome those challenges?
Oh, it's definitely a difficult, you know, game, because they will not sacrifice any quality. They will not compromise with any quality, they will not compromise with any standards desired by them. And it's, if you take a score of, say, total score of 100, I think anything below 90 would not qualify. So you have to, I'm just giving an example, so you have to be in the 90 to 100 kind of a category.
So top bracket you have to
reach. So if you have to achieve that, and that too in the eyes of a global manufacturer, I think it needs tremendous amount of efforts, tremendous amount of work on your entire facility. Then you have to, of course, invest quite a substantial amount, do certain modifications, and entirely change your shop floor and your total manufacturing facility, because these manufacturers, global manufacturers, they come and inspect everything, they come and see everything, they see how the material moves, how fast the production happens, how the quality checks happen, and how the quality is ascertained and all that. So those are the real good and I would say tough kind of test to which these SMEs have to they had to qualify for that. And many of them, they did a good job in that respect, I would say.
So now with all these new technologies coming, for example, Industry 4.0 and all, how do you see digital part helping all these industries around Pune, and what they need to do if they want to be with the curve?
Well, you know, there are many good companies and some of them from the SME segment and all that who have recognized the importance of digitization, and you know, even the new things like IoT and all the new techniques of Industry 4.0, and they are trying to take the necessary steps and all that. And many of them have moved to toward digitization. Earlier, so many things were happening, I would say, out of the computer-assisted systems and all that. But now, many of things have been shifted to computers. And especially, I think, during these 2 years of this pandemic, I think many of them have been pushed to that kind of digitization. And Everything happens. Earlier, if you see, many of the SMEs had only, you know, I would say the emails and all that. That was the extent of digitization.
Yes. Yes.
But now ordering, invoicing, you know, getting the specification, product specifications and product diagrams and layouts, everything online, and, you know, getting that analyzed and feeding to the machines and all that. Step by step is happening, but I won't say that there is a large proportion of SMEs who have moved toward this. Of course, it needs a huge investment, and one has to consider that also. But there are still, if you look at the total number of SMEs and all that, I would say there are many SMEs at the lower rung who are not yet moved to the digitization or even awareness of you know, the computerization of digitization, which is expected. And They need to move much more faster, otherwise they will be lost somewhere. And those who have moved and those who are midway between that, I think they also need to take a faster step, because going ahead, I would say it is only the digitization and you know, the even the artificial intelligence and algorithmic kind of productions and all that, which is going to help you to sustain in the very, very competitive market, and which a very fast developing, technologically developing market.
Yeah, and also in the changing global scenario,
yes,
that our
yes.
manufacturers, they stand a better chance. So that's what I believe. Many industrialists or company owners, they also talk about this skill gap.
Right.
So we have a lot of technical institutes, technical colleges in and around Pune. But when you try to recruit people, many face real challenges. So what's your take on that, and how we can bridge that gap?
Well, we have been into skill development program, I would say, right from the beginning of this century, and I think almost last 20 years, a lot of efforts have been done in the area of skill development. But somewhere, I think we have lost our way, and we have not been able to get that kind of skilled manpower. because there is a definite gap between the skill required by the industry and the skill available in the market. And this gap or a lag will always be there, because if you look at the speed at which the technology is moving or the industry is moving and all that, to create those kind of skills, at that particular point is a bit difficult. But yes, we have to create certain skills which would be easily utilized in developing into skills which are required by the industry, the new technology and all that.
Can you name a few skills?
I would say basically analytical skills, the machine reading kind of a skill, the computer application skills. These are certain skills, even understanding the machine structures, robotics and artificial intelligence trying to, I don't say the expertise in that, but how it works and how what needs to be done and all that. I think that needs a different kind of frame of your mind. And I think that needs to be done. And the basic skill, which is very, very essential, is, I would say, is the analytical skill and, skills which are required for working on the computer-assisted systems.
So do the colleges need to adapt this and they need to be more flexible in offering those skills?
Yeah, definitely. It is said that by the engineering student, by the time he comes to third year of his engineering, all whatever he has learned so far becomes obsolete. So that kind of obsolescence is there in the market, and it's very difficult to create, as I said, to bridge the gap and all that. But I think the education institutions, they also have certain constraints, and it's not easy for also them to develop these kind of skills. But they definitely need to have a look at these basic skills, and rather than creating some skilled force with a specific kind of a skill and all that, I would say that what is required is a generalistic approach that will prepare them in general skills, which are quite adaptable when you move to get these kind of advanced kind of a skill, which an industry in import. Today, if some trainee is recruited, it takes almost between 12 to 18 months for him to get trained on that particular system or the technology and all that.
That's quite
right. But if he is developing these generalist skills earlier, and you prepare him to get adapted to this kind of a learning or the skilling development, fast, I think instead of 12 to 18 months, it could be reduced to say 6 to 8 months, and that also will help tremendously.
Yeah, that will help to boost the productivity.
Yeah, industry. Yeah. Productivity and the industry will save, and they will get the manpower pretty fast.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect. So, I think the student should work when they are studying. At least 2 days a week, they should go to industry. And industry also should play, more... I would say aggressive role in doing that.
No. See, the industry, I would say they are busy in their own, meeting their own manufacturing schedules, meeting their orders, and they are also in pretty fast track. And all of them, they work very hard and all that. For them to come out and train somebody or develop some kind of, or devote some kind of, prepare these becomes very difficult. And even if students, they go to a particular industry and all that, earlier we had some, sandwich programs and other programs and all that. But the effectiveness of those programs, we have all seen it, because from both the side, it's very difficult to come to that kind of level of learning as well as
teaching
and all that. So, yes, students should, I would say they should... not only stick to their curriculum, which is being taught in the school and colleges and all that, but they should go out and on their own try to understand what's happening in the industry. There's ample material available on the internet. There's a lot of things which are available. There are number of courses which are available.
Yeah, the online courses.
Online courses and with the international schools and the universities and all that, they also offer many courses. Some of them are entirely free also. That and they should gather information, they should try to do that, they should try to learn, and simulations and simulated programs are available. So I think it's the development which to a greater extent the student has to do on his own, so that later on when he really enters into that arena of skill development, he can pick up the skill much more faster and understand the skills and get oriented to that kind of pattern.
Yeah, these are some really good pointers for students. Thank you, sir. You have seen Pune grow from a small industrial city to now a nearly a metro. Mm-hmm. So how do you rate this development, and where do you see the future?
Well, Pune, as I see it, the development has really happened pretty fast, mainly because of one characteristic which is there in Pune, which I would say the entrepreneurial characteristic of the Pune, the availability of intelligent, smart youth as well as the entrepreneurs. In spite of the government and other factors and all that, this industry has developed. And it's quite creditable that today, if you talk of India, of Pune, there are many important industrial segments which are present here, and which has almost created Pune as a hub of those kind of this thing. We have IT, we have automobile, we have electronics, which is...
We have a lot of startups coming up.
Startups also coming up, and we have something like industrial metrology, those kind of certain things which are very, very good. And I think the credit goes to all these entrepreneurs and the entrepreneurial spirit of Pune, as well as the various good education institutions we have in and around Pune, and of course the youth of Pune, who I would say is very smart, intelligent, and they pick up various things pretty fast.
Thank you. So, sir, at the end of this podcast episode, we will have some quick fire questions, what they call as rapid fire. So, your favorite sport?
My favorite sport has been cricket, basketball. I played basketball.
So, in basketball, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant?
I would say both of them. Because
if you have to choose one?
Jordan.
Okay. In cricket?
Cricket, my favorite player has been, Sachin Tendulkar.
Your favorite movie?
My favorite movie. It's somebody asks me question, who is your favorite singer or favorite movie and all that, it's very difficult, because I feel that each movie or each singer has got its own characteristics. So if you look at those characteristics, I think from that angle, it becomes your favorite.
So you said you also like music. So what kind of, Indian or Western?
Well, Indian music, Indian classical music, Rashid Khan has been my favorite thing. Then there are instrumental also, Hari Prasad Chaurasia, then there are many of them.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for sharing all this valuable inputs for us, and for especially for students and budding industrialists.
Thank you.
Thank you.